see where we wind up. So thank you. So Father, I just ask that the words from my mouth be your words, that my heart and my mouth are tied together, that the words go wherever they need to go, Father, out on the internet, out here in Kol Mashiach, that they are just a blessing to whoever needs to hear them. In Yeshua's name, amen. The title of my message today is Faith of the Heart. And you'll have to forgive me, there are no detailed slides on this, but you'll be able to review this online in audio form or video form. Well, I don't know about you, but I think the last few months have been truly unique by anyone's measure. Between the arrival of the COVID-19 pandemic, forcing restrictive and impactful changes to our lives, our schools, our jobs, our families, taking the lives of some of our loved ones, and certainly separating families and friends from each other. Piled on top of that, I can only describe as an incredible unraveling of our society's standards of normalcy, including unchecked rioting in major cities and towns around the country, destruction of stores, buildings, and even livelihoods, injury and death of innocent citizens and children, with seeming little concern or serious indifference by our leaders in the media, and the demonization and even attack and murder of law enforcement officers. It feels sometime that the world has turned upside down and backwards and is melting away. And it all seems to have happened in a whirlwind of change while we are all trying to understand what in the world has just happened. Amazing tools we're given have offered us infinitely connected lives to keep us in touch with family and friends. They allow us to work from home, go to school from home, support those that are sequestered in hospitals and houses, recovering from illness. Truly amazing technology that only arrived recently, relatively recently in our lives. Indeed, we are live streaming right now to a good number of our Kol Mashiach family that are not able to come back to the congregation or are out traveling. There are also many new friends of the congregation who found us during that time, who are just looking for a place of solace and hope right now. Hi, everyone. Welcome. We welcome everybody and everybody here. But these same tools are doorways for a never-ending stream of visibility into events that are happening this very hour, minute, and second, right outside those doors, down the block, across the state of Florida, everywhere in the United States, and even around the world. And most of these events, trust me, are not happy, encouraging, nor settling to our spirits. They are put out there by our secular media, social media groups, and a lot of average people who have found a vehicle to elevate their voices onto a local or even a global platform, bigger and louder than ever before, giving them a perceived power that they neither know how to control nor certainly have not earned. And we are all willing, it seems, to pick up the offenses of lands far, far away and make them our worries. And it all adds up, and it all wears us down, and it does me. It tries our patience. It tries our love. It tries our faith. And it tries our sanity. Without getting too morose about this, in the last months, we have read about and witnessed videos of events that try our very souls. We've seen businesses, buildings, streets, churches, synagogues, and other structures defaced, looted, burned, and stolen of goods and property. We have seen random acts of violence and murder in our cities and towns, women, children, sons, daughters, husbands, wives, shot and killed while in their own homes and in their own neighborhoods. We've seen people dragged from cars and trucks and beaten on camera for no reason other than they're at the wrong place at the wrong time. And we've seen them beaten for wearing the wrong color or the wrong logo on their t-shirt or their hat. We've seen our law enforcement teams ordered to stand down and allow the destruction of historic and prime locations in our cities that are being destroyed. And as a New Yorker, that was a personal thing to watch. I'm sure everyone here has their own little area that touched them. We've been warned about this day in 2 Timothy 3:1-4. Be sure of this. In the last days, hard times will come. People will love themselves. They will love money. They will talk about themselves and be proud. They will say wrong things about people. They will not obey their parents. They will not be thankful. They will not keep anything holy. They will have no love. They will not agree with anybody. They will tell lies about people. They will have no self-control. They will beat people. They will not love anything that is good. They cannot be trusted. They will act quickly without thinking. They are proud of themselves, and they love to have fun more than they love God. Wow. That scripture seems all too appropriate for what I'm seeing in the world right now, and unfortunately, all seems too true. But in the midst of this unrest and spiritual and secular darkness and the COVID pandemic, there are rays of light and hope. Thank God that darkness can't exist where light is present. Amen. And there is indeed light in the midst of all that is darkness. In the last months, we have also read and witnessed videos of events that should lift our spirits and just might restore our faith just a little bit. We see doctors, nurses, EMTs, and other first responders still providing their services to people that have a virus that initially nobody knew anything about. Day to day, morning through night, they continue to dress up in their PPE and provide their services, then go home to their families and friends without a care for themselves and only caring for others. We saw many companies, bosses, supervisors, trying to figure out a way to keep their businesses going, not only for their sake, but for the sake of the people that work for them. And we did see groups of people begin to stand up to this craziness that had been happening in the cities and towns by people who did not even live there. We see communities coming together in the aftermath of some of the riots and actually work together as a community to clean up and put the pieces of other people's businesses and other people's property back together for their sake and the community, because it was the right thing to do. Things that maybe would not have happened otherwise. So, what do we do with all of this? What could we understand about our world and our lives when we see such horrid evil and such selfless actions? Well, I don't want to say I have any of the answers of how to change the world or of what is happening around us. After pondering this for the message a little bit, and at home we're talking about it in discussions all the time, I know we all want to know, what is the difference between all the frustrated and angry people acting out in violence and those horrified and stressed people stepping up to help? In a word, it's the heart. It's what's in their heart. And if the difference between these group of people and those types of reactions to the event of the world around them is what is in their heart, how can we together possibly make a difference? How can we change hearts? How can we have more of the step-up reaction versus acting-out reaction? Well, fortunately and unfortunately, God gives us the answer. Fortunately, God has always given us the answers to our problems. You ever noticed that over the years? He's got it all covered. All we need to do is listen. But unfortunately, in just our lifetimes, so much of the world has turned their back on God and pushed God so far away, purposefully and consciously taking him out of their lives, that it's no wonder so many people only understand how to get angry and act out versus get focused and step up. After all, we are children of God, and we certainly seem to act that way when we don't have God in our lives. Mob violence, including looting, typically ignites with little planning. Many who join are young people attached to excitement and the lure of defying authority. And by defying authority, they put themselves in charge, make themselves the authority, acting like undisciplined children. And actually, undisciplined children when they're left in their house alone when the parents are out. Taken to the extreme, these people have no one to tell them what to do. No one will tell them what is right and wrong, making them effectively their own little G gods. People do not loot alone either. Mob violence and mayhem diminish the sense these people have that they are accountable for their actions. Each looks around and sees the person next to him throw a brick or light a Molotov cocktail and stealing, and sees no resistance from any authority. And that atmosphere of childish mentality spreads among those who are looking for a thrill like flames. Looting and violence typically perpetuate and even are copied elsewhere when the media and public authorities explain away the behavior as anger and disenchantment and disenfranchised youth. Such messages carry with them an entitlement that legitimizes their lawlessness. And they are broadcast on that very same technology instantly around the world for all to see, for all to imitate, and to all repeat. Whatever happened to those simple truths that we were all taught as kids? Those things that were part of our childhood that bound each and every one of us little kids together and allowed us to be part of a group of friends, of classmates, of a community, of a school, of a college, of a workplace? Those things were installed in our hearts. I know that. They were discarded. When we took God out of the classroom and out of the town square, those are the things that went with it. Maybe it's time to relook at what we threw away as a society, what we surgically removed from our hearts. And I know for a fact that it was much more valuable than so many people gave it credit for. Let's talk about some of those truths that the world may have forgotten. Spiritual blocking and tackling, right? The basics. Spiritual 101. God began the Ten Commandments this way. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no gods, other gods before me. Exodus 20. The first commandment sets the tone for the rest of the commandments. But in Mark 12, Yeshua himself would clearly tell us the importance of God's commandments, rolling them up into just two simple truths. When Yeshua was asked in Mark 12, 28, which is the greatest commandment of them all, Yeshua answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So what's so hard about this? What's so hard to allow God to be God in our lives and for us to be thankful that he promises to provide everything we need to be successful in light? Where we are weak, he is strong. Where I am sinful, he provides salvation. Free! Just for asking. How can we install inside of us, inside of our hearts, to love our neighbors as ourselves? if we spend all of our energy, intellect, finance, emotions, raising ourselves up to be the master of our world without understanding the reality of what that means. It's our fallen flesh. It's our egos, our intellects. It is our technology that makes us think we are godlike in what we can think, create, design, build, and sell. It's our foolishness, and it's our childishness. It's our idiocy, and it's our blindness that makes us think that we know better than that God we learned about when we were kids in school. It is anything that Satan has offered us to make us believe that we are on the same level as God. My friends, there is only one truth, and it is that God created us and we owe Him everything. Amen. Go ahead. The enemy has successfully moved this country into a humanistic, hedonistic, self-centered, selfish philosophy that puts man in the center of control of all things and pushes God out of the way. It seems that I have begun to create a new country that rejects the guidance of centuries of civilizations that have had these certain truths at the core of its understanding of how we live, how we love, and how we behave towards each other. So for the sake of argument, just for the sake of argument today, let's simplify it a bit. For some of the lost people that hear the name of God and just shut down and put their fingers in their ear, no, 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 I don't want to hear it. God, I don't want to hear it. Let's simplify it. Let's just focus on what we all learned in kindergarten, right? What we carried around inside us, the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. I believe everyone has heard this before. However, I guarantee you a lot of people do not recognize that it is from Scripture and it is God's Word. Shh. Don't tell them. So maybe we can talk about that. So maybe their fingers won't stuck in their ears right away when I start talking about the golden rule. And maybe somebody will hear. This one passage, though small, contains more guidance on living life and getting along with others than the sum total of every book ever written. Living by this rule molds the finest character, one that is well-pleasing to God and man. It is for that reason that this commandment has been called the Mount Everest of ethics. If even the most immature child can remember this, maybe we can show others that there is a better way to live, a way to put down childish things and begin to think and act as adults. In this scripture, we are commanded to have a different attitude. We are to do to others what we want done to us. Now, that means that quite often we must respond to others with an opposite spirit. If someone is being rude, you become gracious. If they are loud, you become soft. Remember, a soft answer turns away wrath. We need to listen to others. One of the societal problems today is we've forgotten how to listen to one another. We are too busy rushing around in our duties and responsibilities to really hear what others are saying and hear what is important. And by listening to others, we will begin to hear their heart and what they think. Instead of not liking what they say and canceling out what they say with a loud voice and no listening. We must empathize with others. It's an amazing attitude changer to begin to empathize with others. When we stop to look at where another person is coming from, what they've experienced, and what they may be going through, our attitude toward that person just might change. To accomplish this, we must put ourselves in that other person's shoes. And most of all, we need to forgive others when they deserve it, whether they deserve it or not. because it's what we would want in our lives. How quick we are to seek to be forgiven and so slow to forgive others the pain that they have caused. We attempt to justify our actions instead of working through them. There are other passages to consider, but time isn't going to allow me. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves, because humility is what should guide our hearts to fulfill this command. From Romans 13:10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the commandments. It's the basis for the motivation of fulfilling this commandment, right? And from 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. This is kind of the Apostle Paul's version of do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Finally, Scripture tells us that there will be few who walk in this obedience and in the understanding of living a kingdom life. But it is many that will choose to live a selfish and self-centered lifestyle. But ultimately, this will not be a fulfilling life and will lead to emotional destruction and turmoil. Proof is out there. So maybe the path forward for the world and for us has to be made even simpler. Maybe we're all overstepping our bounds when we think we can change the world single-handedly by our own power and might. Maybe that's the wrong goal. Maybe that's the wrong thing to be focusing on right now. Maybe we need to be sure that God has called us specifically and anointed us and equipped us for that task. And then, yes, Scripture says then we can accomplish whatever God has to do for you or you to do for Him. All you need to do is be obedient and say yes at that moment. But while we're waiting for that, maybe today we're all not being called to change the world. Maybe today we're all not being called to change a country. Maybe today we're all not being called to change a community. But there is one thing I guarantee that we are being called to do. And you can do it right now. Starting here. Starting today. And that is to change ourselves. That is the one thing that is fully under our control. And using the golden rule, we can start to change the world one heart at a time. Starting with our own and starting today. If we can do just that one thing, pass it along to one person, our children, our child, our spouses, a friend, an acquaintance. If we can just pass it along to one person, maybe that's the way to dismantle the mob. Slowly, but surely, one by one wounded heart at a time. Think about that. Let us pray. Father, I just give you all the thanks for revealing what you revealed to me and to everyone on this message. It's so easy to look at this technology. It's so easy to watch the TV. It's so easy to watch our iPhones, iPads, and videos to see what horror man is capable of towards other men. And Father, maybe it is that we have to have a different head, a different mindset, a different set of eyes screwed into our head. Because you are the only one that can fix the world. Maybe we set our goals too high. We set our goals too high and you haven't anointed us for that. We fall and we fail and we lose hope and we lose faith and we lose power and we lose everything that you've given us over the years. Let us look inward today. Let us start one by one. Give us the strength. Give us the revelation knowledge. Give us the ability to look inside of us to find those areas that we can fix and we can change. And one by one by one, allow us to turn back towards you. And one by one by one, may others turn back to you too. Father, we praise you and honor you in Yeshua's name. Amen. We'd like to end our service this morning.